ultimate reality that it nullifies all other condition. Many people mistake these high wisdom sutra to mean that since everything is empty of its own nature, therefore, nothing truly exists, and thus, you're free. Do whatever you want, because consequences and so forth don't matter, because it's all just Lakshana. And, oh, Shakyamuni Buddha says, Lakshana, that's not the real thing. Don't be attached to it. Don't worry. So we don't eat it. This is why this sutra is so difficult. The sutra is not difficult because, oh, we're trying to understand that everything that we think, that's not really real. So that may be a problem, yes, but what makes this so incredibly difficult is that we misunderstand the underlying meaning of what the Buddha is saying in the entire sutra. There's two things at play here. First, let's take a look at who he's talking to. He's talking to a monastic. Now, upon hearing this, does this mean the monastic no longer has to follow his 278 precepts? But the sutra is not about monastics, is it? No, because if we remember the very first opening, Subhuti says to the Buddha, okay, so you're so in love with the Bodhisattva, these householders, non-monastic, and you care for them, and you spend a tremendous amount of time working with them. Far more than us monks, because you just stick us under a tree and you leave us there for months. But these Bodhisattvas, these householders, you hang out with them. You go to dinner, you go to their houses, you spend all of this time. Why? And the Buddha says there's something very, very important about this whole system. See, the Bodhisattva, that householder, is engaged in worldly activity. He has to be, because he's householder. They have very complex social positions. They have interpersonal relationships with people, relatives, spouses, friends, enemies, strangers, neighbors, employees and employers. And because they're engaged in all of that, they are swamped with having to work with Lakshana. How does one go to work and not do any work because they say, well, a computer doesn't really exist? I'm not going to stock groceries because, that's Lakshana. There's no groceries to stock. And the reality is no one's buying them anyhow. Sure, at an ultimate level, all those statements are true, but on a relative level, that's ignorance. Buddha is pointing something out very profound in this sutra, and this is what makes it very, very difficult, is we must balance this great wisdom of shunyata, nature of dharmas and lakshana. We have to balance that with the skillful means wisdom of non-ignorance. Ignorance, if you didn't know, is one of the three poisons. It is most problematic in the Buddhism, which means we have to have clear intelligence. Those things that we engage at the mundane level, most mundane level, must be faced with clarity and intelligence. Buddha gives this example even in his very first turning, before there were bodhisattvas. Right? Long before he has householders that commit to these massive amounts of vows and the precepts and the practices. As for those that don't know, bodhisattva, how many root vows? Oh, bodhisattvas, shame, 16? Shame, shame. 18 the root vows. How many are the secondary?
46.
Well, okay, so you get 50%. Yeah, that's a lot of vows for a householder. The point that Shakyamuni Buddha wants to make is for you being here in this corporal form. You are here to ultimately accomplish your goal of attaining enlightenment. Or at least attaining your liberation. But that does not mean that you can ignorantly ignore existence. How's this demonstrated? It's demonstrated even before the Bodhisattva path. The Buddha says, here are the difference between right livelihood and that which is not. And in fact, here's an example of five jobs you can't have. Why? He picks those five to show you can't engage them intelligently and have a proper outcome. It's not possible. You could argue and say, oh, well, I'm going to quote a Diamond Sutra on this, and he will go, incorrect answer. Because that's not skillful means. That's what we call idiot wisdom. Is there such a thing? Well, yeah, Master Sun Yun says there is. Stupid wisdom. It plays on nihilism. Well, this doesn't apply to me because, I know it's not real. Incorrect answer. That kind of answer would allow us, and I don't mean to offend, maybe I do, but it would allow us Buddhists, following Shakyamuni Buddha, devotees of the Buddha, to be on a path to learn loving kindness and compassion towards others, and lead people out of their suffering while we engage in the corporate profession of slave trade. Does that make sense? This is why Diamond Sutra and this kind of high wisdom was often kept from the general public. This isn't something that in the time of Buddha, or maybe, well, I scratched that, because in the time of Buddha, he'd be standing right there, and he'd know if you were screwing this up, and he'd confront you about it. But for many centuries after Shakyamuni Buddha left, this kind of thing was never taught. It was only taught to a specific class of monastics who were in a monastery in an incredibly controlled environment, and then they were taught it. Why? Because they would begin to cling to their vows and their lifestyle as their liberation. And the Buddha's like, well, no, that doesn't really work that way. But it's a very, very hard thing to balance. That which you know to be true of the mind and outer sense data and having to engage in a way that is very, very skillful in the world. This gets even heavier when we contemplate the concept of intention. I have a good friend, we'll say his name is Mark. What is Mark? But you won't know him. So, that's fine. Good friend of mine. Love him to death. I've learned a lot from him. But he battles something very, very difficult in his life. Because he's yogin, so he practices very high level of Buddhism. But before he was Buddhist, he went to school and did all this massive training and got himself a big, high position career as a winemaker. Makes wine! That's not allowed. Buddha actually says that is one of the five jobs you can't have. You can't have weapons, you can't have slavery, you can't have drugs. So, he has this. And he battles it. Because he doesn't know where he could go and make six figures like he makes now. And he supports his temple and he supports himself and, you know, all, and he's got a big family. And he also has been supporting almost entirely on his own. Well, there's a small group of them, but they collectively, these five, six people, support an orphanage themselves. And he's conflicted because he's not supposed to have this job. Now, I had a rare opportunity to hear him talking to a very great master, recently passed away, a Lama Pema, different one than the one that's out at CGF. And he was explaining to Pema Rinpoche this situation, and Pema Rinpoche's like, well, you need to do something different. Get a different job. So I can't get a different job. I mean, I'd lose everything. And he goes, well, how much is the value of Dharma? And he says, but it's, you know, the Buddha says this because one of the precepts is people are not supposed to have intoxication. And so the Buddha says, in order to not intoxicate others, don't make it. Well, what about those that can control themselves? My intention's not that people are going to go get drunk on my wine. And this is where I heard that same phrase that I hadn't heard for a very long time. Because Pema Rinpoche says, oh, well, that's kind of a stupid wisdom, isn't it? We cannot twist the teachings of Dharma to overrule a teaching of Dharma. The minute you do that, you have discord in Dharma. And the Buddha says, none of my teachings are false. Then how can we outlaw one against the other? Yogins have all kinds of other problems, and they have to skillfully learn how to balance these new problems that arise. But even at the level of household or bodhisattva, you can't just take wisdom to overrule some other teaching of Buddha. And we certainly can't just throw our concept of, well, my intention is, as if that somehow makes things fine. My intention for selling people is not that they're going to be really treated like slaves. Because certainly somebody out there is going to buy one and treat them really well. Is that reasonable? Now, you're fortunate with this question because you live in the United States. You can ask. There's plenty of people here that can give you a clear insight to how well that concept works in slavery. We have to be very, very careful with high wisdom. It's great that we spend a lot of time talking about the nature of things. And we do need to understand that. Learning shunyata, because then we can understand the severity or the reality of the beliefs or faith that we put into our own ideas and concepts. And when we see that our ideas and concepts are without merit, they themselves have no innate existence, we can liberate ourselves from our beliefs. That is what we are doing with wisdom. We are not creating the world to fit our belief. We are bending our minds, subduing our energies, taking control of our emotionalism, and making it fit the methods of Buddha and his realm. The minute you say, I believe that, you have something crazy to work with. Investigate that I. Investigate that motivation. That belief. That activity. That action. And see if you are using this high wisdom to somehow manipulate the world to fit what you want. Now, my friend Mark, he's very, very intelligent dharmically. And he realizes this is exactly his dilemma. He does not play the stupid, ignorant card. He understands very clearly. And the last time I had heard, he was working, trying to come up with a way to get out. Notice. Take note. You read it today. Buddha says, when the bodhisattvas practice this. You see, he used the word bodhisattva. What do you think that bodhisattva is doing? He is practicing 18 roots and 46 secondary vows. He is practicing an eightfold path. He is developing the six wisdoms, the six paramitas, in order to become the perfect human being who upholds the teachings of the Buddha and mirrors the intention of Shakyamuni Buddha. And the Buddha tells him, that guy engaged in that is using this to liberate himself from that which keeps him from attaining that goal. You're all very intelligent people. Understand, the Buddha does not give cop-outs. He does not give loopholes. This is never about your little god idol or ego. It's never about your wish and desire, except for your auspicious one, which is to liberate all those from suffering. Anything less than that is your garbage, and the Buddha does not support that. And no teaching he gives supports it ever in any way. Do not corrupt the Buddha's teachings in order to do so. Thus, you will live in harmony and at peace, and so shall all those that come directly in contact with you. Because you will be abiding in the Buddha Dharma. You will be an actual refugee of the Three Jewels. You will be an active part of Sangha. Do not let this teaching slip from your mind. Tattoo it on the face of the heart, because this is important. No matter how high a teaching we get, this is fundamentally the truth of the Buddhist teachings. And we are never graduated from that. We are never released from that. So, maybe next week, then Dan can lecture on what's in the text. So we have more wisdom to understand and to look at, and what the Buddha was talking about with the natures of Lakshana. But I wanted to make very clear that we don't somehow, oh, so now that we have this teaching, we can go do whatever we want. No, it's actually, you can now no longer do anything you want in order to pursue your real goal and to pursue your Dharma practice earnestly, naturally, and organically, without obstruction and hindrance.